Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Want to go, pretty boy?
Two minutes by yourself and you feel shame, you know, and then you get free.
The only thing better than a glass of beer is tea with Miss McGill.
And welcome to the Fourth Line Voice Podcast. My name is Darren. Thank you very much for tuning in. Episode 373 of the big show, some enforcer-based podcasting coming at you, brought to you by the Hockey Podcast Network. How's everybody doing out there? Yes, I know, day late and a few bucks short, but we're here, folks. You know, might be a little tardy, but, you know, I still made it. It's fashionably late, we'll say. How you guys doing? Thanks for tuning in. Yes, I know Wednesday has come and gone and we're here, but here I am Thursday night at 9:28 p.m. about to record. Apologize for the delay, folks. Been battling a little something here the last couple of days, a little tired. Haven't been sleeping really that great lately. Just sore and a whole bunch of things, but we're here now, so let's get into it, shall we? To be perfectly honest, I had a few topics I was going to talk about, and then I kind of, I don't know, and then I always kind of, every once in a while, I'll do kind of that my week on the internet. Well, I think this kind of, this whole episode will be kind of my week on the internet. You know, we'll talk about the whole Wi-Fi, Reeves, George LaRoc, Bermuda Triangle of ridiculousness. We'll talk about that. Social media affecting leagues. since I had a number of... I brought it up last episode in my kind of my... Well, people are claiming, I had a bunch of people claiming how drunk I was and everything. I was not drunk. I was definitely into the beers, but and I was wound up, but drunk, no. But I know I had touched on it last episode because it was the night of that I was recording and I was ranting about Habs fans and them saying Reeves was scared. Well, I titled the episode, He Scared, because that's what they were talking about with Reeves. But it went beyond Saturday and Sunday. I was getting, and then, like I said, George LaRoc had to chime in because, you know, George has to stay relevant. So, you know, nobody had talked about him for a week. So, you know, but I'll talk about that. But I had a bunch of Habs fans flapping their lips at me, and I had to hear all about the sheriff, air quote, Arborjack there, Wi-Fi. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to do a player spotlight on him then. And we went down the rabbit hole because I'm going to find out apparently what Reeves is so scared of and what I was taking so much shit about. So we'll talk about that because, hey, I'm going to say if we're going to flap our lips and discuss things, I mean, we got to do some research. So I did the research the last couple days. I went and watched all of his NHL fights, and I got my notes right here, and we'll go over that. So we're making an informed opinion. You know, we're not just whistling Dixie over here. Like I said, we'll get into all that. And we're just going to discuss general stupidity today. So how about it? But first, well, I don't want to say speaking of general stupidity, I won't say that. But I'm a member of the Hockey Podcast Network, over 100 shows in the network. I'm on the original content creator side, along with Terry Ryan and Jolton Joe Lazito and the crew. Like I said, the Three Stooges over in the corner. Jolton Joe Lazito just released Damage Incorporated. It's a dynamic duo type thing. When he first talked about it, I thought it meant that Joe was talking about eating all dressed and ketchup chips at the same time. That's what I thought he was talking about. But no, apparently it's Eric Bolton and Matt Carpenter's season on the island. And Joe is going to go over with this segment, different each couple episodes, talking about different sort of tag teams that the Islanders had over the years. So, but yeah, I mean, Joe's really subtle. I think he's brought up the fact that he wants ketchup and all dressed chips about 4 episodes in a row now. So, okay. So for the sake of his listeners, yes, here, where is it? Hold on, I gotta reach it. You hear that? Yeah, no, I got the chips, all right? So you can stop talking about them. Stop torturing your listeners. Once again, I'm a man of the people. The things I do for you people. Yeah, I got the chip. Although, you know, here is Joe Flat. Oh, now he's got to put conditions on them. Now they're old Dutch. Oh, yeah. Apparently, if we're going to send Joe chips, they got to be the Gucci of chips. Yeah, nothing but the best for the Long Island kid over there. You know, God forbid he, you know, I'm like, no, you're going to get like President's Choice or like great, what's Walmart? Great Value brand. Yeah, I'm going to send you some, you know, you can eat what the poor people are eating, Lazito. You know, look at beggars can be choosers, apparently. He doesn't have anything, but then when he tells me to send him stuff, it's like, well, you got to send me the prime time shit if you're going to send me anything. Oh, I'm telling you. And this is the guy that wants to come to Saskatchewan in the fall. Oh, yeah. We're just supposed to welcome with open arms. Okay. I'm sure he'll want the red carpet rolled out for him when he lands on that tarmac in Saskatoon. Yeah. Goes to the Blades games. You know, he'll want to be up in the Jumbotron, maybe a private box. Yeah. We'll see. There might be a call made. But besides all that, I joke with Jolton Joe, but I don't want him in Saskatchewan. But other than that, though, I always stick up for Joe. Most of the things people say about him aren't true. But definitely check out his back catalog. Tremendous back catalog. That there is no lying about that. No discussion there. It is a tremendous back catalog. Fakota, Ewan, Strudwick, Asham, on and on. But, no, Joe does a great job. So, all joking aside. But, yes, how about, should I just do the ads now? And then we'll just get into things? Yeah, okay, hold on. We'll do the ads now, and then we'll get rocking and rolling here. I got shit to do. Here, hold on.
And now, here's a word from our sponsor.
We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Yeah, Connor Bedard's back. Anytime scoring prop for him is +330. Oilers, the favorite Stanley Cup futures ticket, +700 right now, followed by Boston and Colorado at +850. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with the code THPN. New customers bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with the code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of the Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See DKNY ng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024. All rights reserved.
And now back to your regularly scheduled program.
Okay. Well, yeah, let's get into this freaking debacle. Well, first things first, as the playoffs advance in the LNAH, Laval, Game 3, Brett Gallant is back in the lineup. He will be playing tomorrow night, which is good to hear. His injuries, I believe his shoulder issue, has healed up. And unfortunately, Kluche and Derek Parker and a bunch of suspensions happened after Game 2. I'll get into that in a second. So, you know, but they're playing RDL, and I can tell you who's on our Matthew Gagnon. So I don't know. We'll see if we can get a Gagnon and Gallant matchup. That'd be a hell of a tilt, boy. And yeah, we'll see what happens. But Game 3, Brett Gallant in the lineup. So good to hear. But I'm going to say I haven't given him a lot of credit this year, and I should have. But I got to say, Derek Parker, the old Ice Wars guy, you guys know Derek Parker, been around forever. I mean, he's in his early 40s, but this guy doesn't stop. And, you know, Laval put the call in and he came off the, you know, he's a conductor at CN, just comes right off the train, puts on his skates, and just will fight anybody in the league and then gets online and talks shit about it. and just doesn't stop. He fights every night and no wrestling, man. He's swinging and going for it. And I mean, all the credit to Derek Parker. I mean, and he's had some great fights this year. Caught the cap the last game there and put him down. And you know, I mean, the fans of Laval got to be loving Parker, man. Like you said, before every game, he's shadow boxing and punching the gloves, and he's getting ready and makes. And like I said, he'll go online and be like, "Yeah, I'm fighting twice tonight, and Joe Blow better keep his head up. I'm coming for you." And, I mean, and he's out there promoting it, and I will, you know. And he's learned, like, he speaks French, and he'll speak in French and in English, and like, what a showman! I'll. You know, golf clap to you, sir, because I'm telling you, dude just doesn't give a fuck. And I'm not sure how many fights he has this year, but I mean, I think he's the league leader in fights, and willing to fight twice a night, twice a game, every game. And he picked. Well, we can get into the suspension talk here because there's another suspension I want to talk about. Of course, I'm looking up, but old Parker got 3 games and Kluche got this many games and Paquette got more games. And I start looking at these suspensions and I'm watching the video and unless I'm watching the wrong video, I'm like, what is the suspension about? And this is the LNAH, for God's sake. Like, what's this league do? Like, I don't know if they've got a hard on for Laval and just they're pissy at the owner or whatever, but it's just like I'm watching the video waiting to see what Parker and Kluche did, and it's like I'm not seeing anything. And it's not just me being like old school, that's nothing. Like, they used to have all out flat out brawls when there was like a dozen fights in the ice and nobody was getting these suspensions. Now, I'm not saying we need to go back to that, well, I kind of am, but well, I mean, we're not going to, I get it, but I mean, it's the playoffs. We're handing out 3-4 and adding 2 games here and 2 games there. It's like, who's running this fucking, you know, this league? Like, what happened to you? And then the Federal Pro League, or the Prospect League, whatever the fuck they call it, the Federal Prospect League. There's a bunch of, like, at the bench, there's guys kind of, they're kind of reaching around the glass. And one guy kind of popped a guy with a glove on, the other guy shoved him. But it's a bunch of nothing. Oh, all of a sudden you look at, like, oh, this guy's suspended indefinitely, and this guy, oh, it's just like, what? Like, just give him one game and move on. Like, who gives a shit? Like, this is a bunch of nothing. It really is. Like, I'm like, this is soft as shit, and these leagues are, you're worried about this shit? Like, And it's like, are the people that actually pay the money to go and watch these games, is anyone upset by this? Like, you hear them all cheering and shit. No one cares. The fans love this shit. You know, and this goes to my thing about social. You know who does all the, it's funny because the video gets posted online and then you go and read the comments and it's fucking whining about this. And oh, they're a bunch of goons. They should be out of hockey. And they're crying about this and crying about that. And I swear, but it's like, this is what the leagues read. They read this shit. And it's like, oh, we don't want to get a bad rep online because whatever fucking league, you know, Federal Boy 19 put up our video online and it's getting a lot of negative comments. And do any of these people go to your games? No. It's just a bunch of fucking hockey news subscribers that are one clown's probably sitting on their couch in Vancouver. They're 10,000 miles away from the nearest Federal Hockey League game. They don't even know where the league is or what the teams are, but they see some video of some random guys. This shouldn't even be allowed in hockey, you know? Oh, and then the league gets, oh, go ask the people that were actually at that game. Does this really bother you? They're just like, no, they should have actually done more and fought more. Like, go to Laval and watch that, like, with the RDL shit. Like, is anybody bothered by this? Like, they're all cheer. All you hear is cheering and noise horns and the, you know, goddamn cowbells and everything else. No, no one was booing. No one, the people that actually paid the tickets price, nah, they don't care. But who do we listen to? Oh, yeah, Marner Girl online thought it looks really, makes hockey look bad. Couldn't tell you the teams or the leagues or anybody that's involved, but it's just faceless username 72-semicolon-apostrophe-96 thinks this makes hockey look bad, so let's take him seriously. Who gives a shit? Is he buying any of your merchandise? He doesn't know anybody in the league, doesn't know what league it is, where it is. Why do we care what this person's opinion is? The problem is username 72 semicolon question mark. Well, he retweets it, and then the other dipshits get, oh, yeah, no, why would anybody watch this? This is terrible. And, yeah, and then on, and then just comment after comment after comment, and it's just these mindless morons. And then it's like, and it's funny, if you get in there, and I'm going to pivot here and talk about, well, back to this Montreal and Toronto thing. You make you must be one of them laughs fans getting ready to lose in the first round of the playoffs, buddy. Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I don't give a fuck about any of this. I think hockey sucks. So, who are you talking? Like, I'm not one of your fanboy morons that's going to argue with you and just, I don't give a shit. So that's like when I talk about Reeves and Wi-Fi, I don't care. That's what I said. When you listen to this show and I'm talking about players, you're getting the most unbiased, unfiltered opinion. I'm not a Montreal Leaf fan. Wi-Fi Reeves, they're fine. I don't have a problem with either guy, but I'm going to lay out what I found when I watched the videos and what's going on and how I'm about ready to chastise George Laroque. And I like George Laroque, but I don't know what he's, he did an excellent job of trolling. If that's what he's doing, I mean, whatever, you got your name out there again, you know, but I mean, we'll get into all that, but it's like, as soon as you do and you talk about it online, people all of a sudden it's like, okay, Grant, yeah, whatever. Yeah, well, I'm the only one that's talking any sense in this. Like, and to go back to these air quotes brawls and all this goonery. Well, all these people that talk about goons have never really seen a goon. They've watched hockey for maybe 3 or 4 years, 5 years. Know nothing outside of the NHL bubble. So if they see any of this, it's like, oh, but the hockey news said, or somebody, you know, The Athletic wrote an article, and they're the ones that are crying that Rempe's fighting too much, and he's going to have brain damage in 3 years, and on and on, and he's being bullied by other players, and he's just a child. These are those people. And yet, these are the people that the league listens to. And I've often referenced this. I've talked about, again, this isn't new shit that I'm talking about. I mean, I've ranted about this for 373 episodes now. Bissonnette talked about this a few years ago on social media. He said, this is the problem with social media. All these leagues listen to these pinheads because they're the most vocal. Because the, you know, and yeah, and like I said, if you say anything otherwise, or you simply point out either the hypocrisy of it, or the fact that most of the time the people commenting are fans of, or crying about it, are usually are fanboys or fangirls of, like, whatever, or the victim's team or whatever. So of course they cry the loudest. But like I said, all the Habs fans were crying about Reeves the other night and what a goon and a piece of shit he is and everything else. These same jerk-offs, though, if Reeves got traded to Montreal tomorrow, they'd be at the team store buying his jersey. You know, and it's just, but these are the pinheads that these leagues listen to. And when, especially these lower leagues, it's like, I think it's literally the social media outrage that they read that's, I think literally almost forces the hand of these. Well, and I think these, like, commissioners or whoever's in charge of discipline for these leagues, they're so, hockey's in this weird place where I think it's at, like, a crossroads where it's trying to still be edgy and tough. And they always talk about hockey culture, whatever. Most hockey players that I know, even retired ones, I mean, most of the ones I know are retired or whatever, but even the current ones, they see this shit go on, and like if you went and talked to those Federal League players that got suspended, even on the other teams and stuff, they'd just be like, who gives a shit? Like, it's nothing, let's move on with things. Now, if it's like, whatever, like a cross-check to the head or a slash or something, that's different. But anything where it's like kind of a mutual combat thing, or like something like that, like a little air quote brawl or something like that, players like that shit. Like, they're into it. Like, they're not like, no, let's not suspend anybody. It's just to play and get on with it. Next time we play, we'll deal with it. Players of the victim team, if it was like some two-hander across the back or something, well, yeah, okay, well, then they'd be like, yeah, that guy should get a bunch of games for that. But anytime it's like a mutual combat type thing or a fight thing, brawl thing, whatever, players don't give a shit about that stuff. They're like, they're down with it. They like it. And it's like, but these leagues just overreact now to everything. And I think a lot of it is they get pressured by the views on social media and the comments, and they start reading it, and it's like, oh, well, we need to do something. But the funny thing is all these people like that are commenting about the Federal League thing or the LNAH thing, they're not sticking around to see what your suspension is of them. Like, they're not going to check in a couple of days. Oh, they gave that guy an indefinite? Well, that's good then. Yeah, good thing I followed up on it. I can sleep now at night. Like, these people just, it's 5-minute outrage. They see if they're scrolling their social media feed on Instagram or Twitter or whatever, and somebody posted the federal prospects thing. So they watch that. Like I said, they're not following any of the Federal League teams or the league, or they don't even know what the league is. Like, that game could be some senior game in fucking Des Moines at 9 o'clock at the Twin Rex Arena. They don't know between Dennis from Costco, you know, versus Jimmy from fucking Taco Bell. That, for all they know. They don't, the Watertown Wolves and all the Danbury hat tricks, they don't know these teams. They don't know what any of this is. They just see the video and, oh, that shouldn't happen. And, oh, it's a bunch of oversized kids that can't control their emotions. That, I saw that comment, you know, from Yoga Mom. Well, cause she goes to a lot of Federal League games. She knows. Like, but this is who these leagues follow and listen to. Oh, okay. Well, and then this is why you get, because I saw a bunch of the people commenting. Of course, then it doesn't help on some of these boards. It's like the people that comment, again, are these obnoxious fans. Of course, then you get, well, now I'm actually going to, I'm going to backpedal on everything I just said. You go on, of course, the Federal League talk boards or the Southern Pro League talk sites or these Facebook pages. And again, if it's not their team, they bitch and cry about the goons and how mean everyone is. And unless it's their guy, then it's, oh, well, no, he was just defending himself. And, you know, because so you can't take any of those people seriously. So how many, like, objective neutral parties are there that, you know, not many, I could tell you that. But, you know, one, you're listening to it right now. I, like I said, I have no attachment to any of these teams or players, or I don't care. So I will just, this is how I view it. And I'm not saying I'm right or wrong, whatever. I'm just telling you, it's unbiased because I don't care who they play for, whatever. So again, I know I have to keep, I don't think I have to keep reiterating that, but I will. I know I'm probably talking over myself and in circles at this point. Like I said, it's late, but anyway. I'll move on here. Anyway. Oh, yeah. So that was the other one. Okay, here, I have to bring this up before I get into the Reeves Wi-Fi thing. I had posted a picture of way back when of John Kordick, the late John Kordick, when he played for the Portland Winterhawks in junior. And the picture was from his book, but it was an old black and white picture. What year would that be? About 82, 83, around there. Yeah. And in his final year in junior, Kordick was the captain, wore the C for Portland. And, you know, and like I said, most people, oh, WHL back in the day was crazy tough. Wow, thanks for the picture. Awesome pit, rip, you know. Love the Cooperalls, because he's wearing the Cooperalls, of course. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and here's old Francois, whatever, F. Levine 23, he's got to chime in. He was the captain? Explanation. This guy couldn't even turn on both sides. Yeah, nothing against the man, but on the ice, he was a fighter and nothing else. This is the, like I said, the brilliance of social media. So let's have a look at, cause we can't believe that John Kordick would wear the C cause he couldn't turn. Okay. John Kordick, as a 17-year-old rookie with the Portland Winterhawks in 82-83, 72 games, he's a defenseman, remember, played D, 72 games, 25 points, 235 penalty minutes. In the playoffs, 14 games, 7 points. The following year, 83-84, 67 games, 9 goals, 50 assists, 232 minutes in the playoffs. Again, 14 games, 13 points. Again, he's a defenseman. The 84-85, he wore the C in Portland. He actually got traded that year. He also played for the Seattle Breakers. But in Portland, 25 games, 6 goals, 22 assists, 73 minutes. And then he got traded to Seattle, played 46 games. Defenseman, keep that in mind, I keep saying it. 46 games, 17 goals, 36 assists, 154 minutes and penalties. Yeah, so scroll down to his... The Portland Winterhawks won the Memorial Cup. Then he went up to the AHL as a rookie, won the Calder Cup in the AHL. Then the year after that, he won the Stanley Cup with the Montreal Canadiens. Yeah, so Bozo here, looking at his WHL totals in 3 years, he played 210 games, 35 goals, 130 assists for 165 points, and 694 minutes and penalties. And in 28 playoff games, he had 20 points and 86 minutes. But yeah, he couldn't turn either side. And yeah, I can't believe he'd wear the C. These are the morons online that I talk about. Yeah, my week on the internet. Yeah, these are the bozos that are in my notifications. put up a Kordic pitcher, and here we go. That's what we get. Oh, the other one. I didn't write this down, but I know. So the NHLPA put out its players poll, and 607, pretty much all the members of the union, all the players, filled out this poll, and it was like, if you were protecting a one goal lead, what defense would you want on the eight? Blah blah blah. The best part is, or like, who's the most clutch player? Who would you, what forward? Who's the valuable player? On and on. Best ice surface, all that stuff. The best part is there's fans arguing online about this, disagreeing. Yeah, because what the fuck would the players know, right? Oh yeah, Leafs fan, just outrage. And once again, it's just the league and the Leaf biased. Yeah, like Austin Matthews isn't the most complete player in the league. Because I don't even think he was on the list. It was like Crosby and McKinnon and whoever, but, he has almost 70 goals. Yeah, well, clearly the players don't think he's that hard to play against, I guess, And like defensemen, they're going on, Hughes is easily the best. The fact they got Makar ahead of him is just ridiculous. And yeah, because again, what would the people actually playing against these guys, what would they know? And yeah, of course you go look at their bio and it's their Leaf fans or Canucks fans or whatever. It's just like, oh yeah, of course. The best one though, because of course they have the ice surfaces, right? Yeah, what's the best? These people are like, oh, well, it's easily this. These people have never stepped foot on this ice. They're talking about what ice surface is the best. How the fuck would you know? Have you played a bunch of games on each rink in the league? And I kind of know who has played on every ice surface in the league. But again, here we are on social media. Yeah, well, that's just social media in a nutshell about everything. Yeah, forget, knowledge doesn't matter. Never mind being an expert, that doesn't matter. No, it's just the loudest voice. That's who we'll listen to. Never mind that you're actually an expert in the field. And that could go for whatever. Medicine, politics, science. We just shun knowledge. Yeah, so when it comes to athletics, no, we'll listen to Stephen A. Smith or some dork, The Athletic or The Hockey News or Myrtle, or we'll listen to these people. Oh, sure. But what would the players know? So I like when on these panels, when the ex-player says something, yeah, but he's just a bitter meathead. Well, no, he's telling you how it is, but okay, sure. Yeah, we'll listen to Jennifer Botterill because she knows. Oh, won a gold medal, bro. Yeah, she also played when there was no hitting or contact. I'm not knocking her hockey talent. She was a very great women's hockey player. But that ain't the NHL, so it's completely different. So why are we acting like it's the same? It's not. So anyway, but again, stupidity reigns. Speaking of stupidity. Yeah. Okay. Once again, we'll get into this this whole Wi-Fi Reeves deal here. Okay, sorry about that. Up and down. Okay. Well, because of course this whole... I thought this topic was dead and buried on Saturday night after Reeves fought Pinzani or whatever the hell his name is in Montreal, which again, for some reason, Habs fans and even George LaRocque couldn't seem to grasp what was going on here. It was just Reeves is apparently he's acting up because the sheriff isn't playing, and so now he's just going to bully the Montreal players and forgetting that. And even LaRocque's when the cat's away, the mice will play, and sort of referring to Reeves was scared of even Ty Domi replied to LaRocque, what the fuck are you talking about? Pinzato, whatever, hit somebody late on Toronto, and Reeves addressed it like he should have. So Reeves shouldn't have done anything? Again, I talked about this last episode. What are you fucking guys talking about? Like, okay, so anyway, Reeves address. Okay, well, and he only did that because Wi-Fi wasn't playing. And then I had a bunch of these Montreal dorks, fan dorks, because of course I had to be a wise ass on social media, like I said, and of course, and I, you know, well, I even, like I said, I even had Tony fucking question me, but I kind of, because Wi-Fi used to work at Costco, so I was calling them like a Costco cart jockey and stuff, and I made the comment to, because my point was to not, I guess I was shitting on Wi-Fi. I didn't mean it this way. It was a shot at the Habs fans that were yapping at me is what it was. Because for them saying that Reeves was scared and that he's lucky Wi-Fi wasn't playing and Wi-Fi already beat the shit out of him once this year and all this. Well, so for their stupid talk, I'm like, okay, well, since we're going to wallow in the mud here and we're all going to talk dumb, I will come down to your level and talk stupid because apparently you talk stupidese. So I will talk stupidese. You know, we got to talk hockey Twitter. We got to be all morons. So, okay, I will stoop down to your level. And I just basically said, Reeves isn't scared of the Costco cart jockey that's never won an NHL fight. You know, okay, well, that got the Rubes fired up and everything else. And so they were all, you know, Reeves sucks and he's just a goon. And our, you know, Arbor Jack, he's fucking a regular player and on and blah, blah, blah. Okay. Now, I'm going to be completely honest with the folk, and I don't have a problem with Wi-Fi. I could, whatever. Okay. But I was like, all right, well, hey, if I'm going to come on here and talk about them, I'd have to educate myself. So I went on hockeyfights.com, which pained me to do, but again, this is the things I do for you people. You know, and I looked up his fight card. Because we're going to do a little player spotlight on the man here. Because I'm like, all right. Well, because like I said, I'm getting told all this. Oh, he's the, like the way these Montreal fans are talking, holy shit, he's the next John Ferguson. So, I mean, I better educate myself here, you know. Like I said, I don't watch the NHL anymore. So, you know, I'm a little behind the times here on who's hot and who's not in the league. And apparently, Reeves is scared of this individual. And, you know, and I should be paying attention. And shut my mouth. So, okay. I went and looked, like I said, went to Hockey Fights to fix your site. Your site sucks ass. But I went, looked up his fights. I watched every one of his NHL fights. And here are my notes. And like I said, you're going to get an honest review. And like I said, all the fights are online. You can go look them up just as I'm talking about them. And tell me I'm wrong. Tell me I'm wrong. I'd love to hear from you. If I lay out some description of the fight and my opinion here about Wi-Fi and Reeves and everything, and you figure, oh, this Darren's just full of shit. Like I had one guy tell me I normally agrees with my opinions, but I'm way off base here, okay? And I had somebody else like Wi-Fi is the real on and on. And like I said, it was like holy shit, he's the second coming. He's a mixture of you and Odeline and you know, and everybody wrapped together. Yep. Wi-Fi is the next Nomad Baron. There's one. There's an obscure one for you. Look that one up. Okay. And then we'll do this. And then we'll talk about him and Reeves and who's scared of who here and all that nonsense. Okay. So Wi-Fi in 22-23 comes up, plays the preseason. He has two fights. First fight's against Mark Kostelec. Whatever. A couple shots either way. They fall down. Draw. All right. Next fight's Austin Watson. Wrestle. You know, three kind of lefts from Wi-Fi. It's a win, but what? Again, these fights are, yeah, whatever. Okay. I guess nowadays, I mean, I guess fighting's so few and far, you know, that anything's got to be we have to have a winner and a loser, and oh yeah, see, it was three punches to two, he won, and it's always their guy that wins, though, and it's just like, whatever, like this, fuck it, you know, to be completely honest, I watched this guy's fights, and I know I have a couple guys always laugh at me, but bunch of fucking nothing. Like, if this is the sheriff and your big fucking nothing. And it's like, I don't get it. Like, I mean, I saw some clip there, it's an older Spit and Chiglets thing. Oh, Bissonnette's talking about, oh, he's already the top five in the league. And what the fuck? Why? Why? Because he beat the comment I kept getting from people when I said he never, or he beat Zach Cassian, beat the brakes off of him. Well, there we go. That is the bar that we've set, that if you can beat Zach Cassian, apparently that vaults you into title contention in the NHL. Okay. I mean, that would be back in the day. That would be the equivalent of like, okay, you beat Nick Kyprios, so you must be the top guy, one of the top guys in the league. I mean, I like Nick Kyprios. That's not a fair commentary, but you know what I'm getting at. Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, you really shit pump Murray Barron. So, yeah, he's a top three guy in the league. Like, no one would say that back then. But you do that now, and it's like, yeah, so he fights Zach Cassian. Yeah, and he worked him over. But go back again. He caught Cassian with a good one. Then proceeds to miss about four punches and then throws him down. You know, whatever. Like, again, these fights are all online. Go watch what I'm saying. Am I lying about, if I'm lying, I'm flying and my feet ain't left the fucking ground. So, again, and as I'm saying all this, I'm not saying this to disparage wife, because it's all, well, it sounds like you're being super critical of them and whatever. I'm telling the truth. Like, what are the only facts? Don't care about your feelings? Like, I'm just laying out what I'm watching on the video straight up. I'm telling you what I saw. And this is what I'm seeing, and this is the review you're getting. And I don't have anything against the kid. The one thing I do like about him is, like, he throws the body. Someone throws that body on his guy, he's right in there. He's pushed and shoving. If we're fighting, we're fighting. We're not standing around opening our lunchbox. Like, we want to go, my gloves are off, and he's throwing shots. Like, he ain't giving, yeah, let's square up Marcus of Queensbury. He'll do that too, but if you're going to say let's go, you better be ready because the ejection button's getting hit and he's ready to go. I dig it. Okay. But let's just talk about the results of this. Again, so 22-23, first full season, has 9 fights. Cassian's his first one. It's a good start. He gives it to Cassian. I'll give him that one. His next one's with Olivier. They both land 2 and fall. Yeah, okay. Draw, whatever. Then the next one's against Delorier. That's nothing. It's a bunch of wrestling. Really, it is. It's legit just wrestling and the refs break it up. Next one's against Luke Shen. And again, Shen threw a big hit. He comes in for his guy. They fall, they grab and kind of throw each other, whatever, and they fall down right away. Nothing. Then he fights Maroon. Wow. Maroon hasn't thrown a punch since 2014. I mean, all that guy does is wrestle. So he wrestles and leans his head. And then you got to hear the announcer talk about what a smart fighter Maroon is. Well, he's not getting hit in the face. So he's leaning away and an Arbor Jack hits him 4 times in the back of the helmet and the refs get in. Well, okay. Well, big win there. Somebody told me, oh, he beat the brakes off of Maroon. That was a tweet that I got. Get a clue, buddy. He beat the brakes off of Maroon. Yeah, 5 punches to the back of the helmet's beating the brakes off somebody these days. No, he won on punches, but not all he did was got a sore hand from punching plastic, and Maroon sits in the penalty box and whatever. Waste of time, but okay. Then he fights Jadot. Couple helmet shots, but once again, okay, we'll give him the W. Sure, big win. Then he fights Adam Lowry. Again, couple shots either way. Nothing. And like they're like short little jabs. Like they're not like some big Joey Koser like Tony Twist like haymaker. It's like a couple short arm punches and okay, whatever. Then he fights Giovanni Smith, who falls to one knee, and I mean shit, Arbor Jack kept a glove on, one glove on. He's kind of hitting this guy. Whoever this Giovanni Smith is, he actually kind of started it and kind of looked like a goof, but okay, whatever. But I mean, again, a couple punches and okay. Then he fights Vincent Dagenet for Edmonton. Now, who are these people? They grapple, and that's all it is they pull each other's arms and do these short little, like, you remember when you used to play shinny?
out on the road or whatever, and you and your buddies would fight, and like you just throw like little jabs. And so that's what these fights look like. Like, we had better fights in our shinny games, actually. And it's just like a couple shots either way, and then not a mark or on either guy, and skate to the box, and everyone smiles and giggles, and then everybody, oh, what a warrior! No, okay, like, so that was, yeah, Maroon, you know, like, Giovanni Smith, Vincent Dagenet, Mark Kostelic, like, it's not the who's who, it's the who's that. I mean, and again, that's not his fault that the league's the way it is. I mean, the same thing could be said, like, with everybody gets on Reeves. I'm like, well, so it's Reeves' fault the league's soft? Like, so, I mean, again, it's not Wi-Fi's fault here, but it's just, again, remember these names as I go on. Okay, so now we get to this year. He's at 7 fights. Well, the first fight at the start of the year was against Reeves. Oh, yeah, that big fight. Oh, yeah, he's already beat up Reeves once. I got that multiple times to me. Hey, bud, maybe go watch that fight. Like I told the one guy, he got the win against Reeves earlier this year. I told the guy, I said, well, that's amazing how you can win a fight without throwing a punch. But okay, big win. Well, let's just respectfully disagree then. Sure. What is there to disagree about? He didn't throw a punch. Again, I'm not just coming up with this. Reeves throws a big hit. Again, Wi-Fi comes in like he should. They grapple. He loses his grip. They get back together. It's kind of the helmet slap thing, and then he bull rushes Reeves into the net, and they fall down. That's all that happened. But yet, Habs fans will be like, "Yeah, he owned him. He really embarrassed Reeves." This was LaRocque's big talking point. It's like, really, that's the big embarrassing big win, is it? Okay, like that's what we're hanging our hat on. Jesus. Okay. Well, that was fight number one. Next fight, Dmitry Voronkov or something. He hit Wi-Fi from behind, who gets up, and the refs come in right away. Like, it was nothing. I don't even know why they would get fighting majors. Then he fights Janot again. Again, couple punches either way. Short little jabby things. Nothing. Then he fights Ross Johnson. Again, grapple, whap, whap. You know, little side of the helmet shots. Nothing. Then Eric Cernak. And that's a scrum and pushing and shoving. And the ref gets in the way. And then they throw a punch and fall down. And that's it. That's it, folks. That's the player's spotlight. Those are his fights from the NHL in his career. So what have we got? 11 to 18 fights. All right. hold on. And like I said, the fights are all online. You go and watch them. And then you get back to me in the comments section. Oh, you're full of shit. This fight, you go look him up and tell me I'm wrong. Again, I got nothing against the kid, but holy shit, that's a whole lot of nothing. Again, he's air quote fighting, you know, and he's in it. The gloves are off and they're engaging, but there ain't nothing happening. Like I said, the kid's out front here playing road hockey. Throw more punches in half these fights. But then we'll go on the other side of this, of the ledger here. And like I told the one guy he was just insisting to me that Reeves is scared of this guy. I'm like, okay, you go and look at their fight cards and who they fought over the years. So I listed here, we got, like I said, Eric Cernak, Dmitry Voronkov, Vincent Dagenet, Giovanni Smith, you know, Luke Shen, Olivier, Zach Cassian, Mark Kostelec, Eric, or Austin Watson. This is the real murderer's row on the fight list here. And I didn't write down all of Reeves' entire fight card, But I'm going to throw some names at you of the guys that Reeves has fought over the years. Francis Lessard, Tristan Grant multiple times, Patrick Bordolo, Kyle Clifford, Bissonnette, Theo Peckham, Derek Dorsett, Cody McLeod, like nine times. Again, Bordolo, Sorrentini, Carcillo, Englund, Jackman, Bull, Staubitz, McGrattan, John Scott, Hordachuk, Brandon Bolig. The next year, Brent Henley, go look him up, Richard Clune, Volpatti, Sestito, Biz again, Tim Jackman. The following year, Sestito, Peros, Englund, McLeod, Tom Wilson, Thorburn, Clune, Bolig. Then the next year, Joel Reklish, Dylan McElrath, Tom Wilson, Greiba, Crombean, Sean Thornton, Anthony Peluso, Englund again, Tutu, Foligno, Gabriel, Bull, Neal, Michael Haley, McLeod, Nurse, Lowry, Johnson, Delorier, Gabriel, Clifford, Maroon, McDermott, Foligno, Janot, Delorier, Johnson, Lowry. So after listening to the lists of those two fight cards of either guy, yeah, really?
Reeves is scared, is he?
Okay. Sure, George. Yeah, so the the thing with LaRocque is if he had played for the Leafs, he'd be pumping up Reeves' tires. You know, like I said, George. Now, again, ironically, I just talked about arguing with the players and what would they know and everything else, and here I am doing it.
No, my issue with George LaRocque is, and again, great enforcer. I have LaRocque in my top five of all time. No, pardon me, great fighter. I have him in my top five of all time. I think he likes to purposely say shit online, like I said, to, he's trolling. At least I hope so. I hope he's not serious, and I'm really not sure what his whole, I don't know if he has, like, heat with, Reeves. I'm not quite sure, but, it made zero sense. You know, so anyway, here's his comment. It was like, well, because the one guy comments, Reeves doesn't give two fucks about Wi-Fi. He's a tough bastard, but Reeves is showing he doesn't care who he has to fight. He had Wi-Fi challenged him last game, Revo would 100% dropped his gloves. Their first fight can be barely called that. I agree. Their first fight can barely even be called that. These two need to go round two. So then LaRocque replies to this guy. For those who are wondering the importance of Wi-Fi in the lineup, I hope you understand after yesterday's game against Toronto. Go watch the previous match between the two teams when Wi-Fi played. Reeves was invisible, and yesterday he was driving everyone crazy. While the cat's away, the mice will play. Like, okay, George. You know, and it's just, yeah, come on. What are we doing here? So then George's other comment was, just so you know, I'll explain something to you plain and simple. When you play your first game in Toronto after signing a 3-year deal in front of your fans, you play a rival team like Montreal, you're supposed to be the number one heavyweight in the NHL. When a guy makes you look bad in a fight because Wi-Fi did make him look bad, you go again. Not the next game, the same game. Wi-Fi has nothing to prove. Oh, like, all right. Well, Wi-Fi's got everything to prove. Who's he? Like, if you're supposed to be this young, up-and-coming, tough guy, and all you do is grab on to Reeves and throw him into a net, well, that's not tackle him into the net. That's not... How is that he made Reeves look bad? Like, I'm still not understanding where LaRocque is coming from. Well, I know where he's coming from. He's coming from a place of Montreal homerism is what he's doing. But it's like, again... And I understand the irony of me arguing with players about this after I just made fun of people for doing the exact same. But I, like I said, I don't understand where LaRocque's coming from or what his rationale is with this. Okay, like Reeves should just go out and yeah, maybe he should have, but I don't know how that made Reeves look bad. And this idea that Wi-Fi has nothing to prove. Well, he's got everything to prove. I would kind of think the guy that's played 900 games in the NHL doesn't have anything to prove. He got his 3-year deal. Clearly, whoever gave him the 3-year deal thinks he has nothing to prove, or he wouldn't have got a 3-year deal. I think Reeves has sort of solidified that he'll fight anybody anytime. Has he not? I listed off his fight card for you. Partial fight card, like I'd throw out some of the names. I think he's more than proven that he'll fight anybody. Now, the kid that's played for 6 minutes in the NHL, he's played a grand total of a year and a season and a half. I think he's the one that needs to prove himself, does he not? Does he have a 3-year deal? I don't know, does he? I'm not quite sure. But what are we doing here? What are we talking about? So you sign a 3-year contract, you need to prove yourself. Well, no, you proved yourself, that's why you got the 3-year contract. Reeves has played 900 games proving himself, and he's 36 years old. He's proven it beyond doubt what he'll do and who he'll fight. So again, George, I mean, like I said, what the fuck are you talking about? But it's this Montreal thing, I guess. I don't know. But my inbox was my reply. Oh, and I had some goof, grown man, saying, "Are you thirsty much? Is that all you're doing? Is thirsty?" I was like, "Did you tell LaRock is being thirsty?" Thirsty. I said, I'm not talking to grown adults that use thirsty. What? Are you thirsty much? I don't. Okay. Well, you're the one. I don't follow you on social. Who are you? You're the one trolling, not me. So. No, did this mean anything tonight? I don't know. Well, like I said, I was going to educate. I educated myself on Wi-Fi because apparently I didn't know anything about Arbor Jack, and I needed to figure it out. Well, I figured it out. I looked it up, and like I said, I challenge anybody to go watch the videos that I just watched. Like I said, they're all on hockeyfights.com. If you can navigate, if the site doesn't crash on you while you're watching them. Good job on the update, boys. Once again, fine job, clowns. But, you know, I hated giving them my business, actually. But for the sake of keeping it in order, I went and watched those fights. So go watch the fights. And then, hey, feel free to comment to me in this or email me, hockeyfights@hotmail.com, if you think I'm full of shit or I'm just thirsty. Yeah, tell me what I'm wrong about. I'll listen. Hey, like I told the one Montreal guy who was kind of arguing with me, I said, well, come on the show. And we'll talk about it. What am I so wrong about? What am I not seeing here, apparently? Because I'm either old or clueless or a Leafs fan, apparently. I guess I'm a Leafs fan? Okay. No, I'm just the only one talking truth out in this little comment section. I'm the only one that's sitting in the middle on the fence. I'm like, hey, does Reeves not piss me off? Of course he does. Reeves bugs me sometimes, too. You know? Like, I think there's some times that he should force the issue. He does a lot of talking and bullying and mouthing off and whatever, which I don't have a problem with, whatever. I mean, that was the point at one time. Apparently, people don't see that anymore. But there are some times I wish he would, again, drop the whole, let's mutual square, respect bro and all this shit and just grab a motherfucker and dummy him. Like, for sure. And I gave him shit when he was at the Rangers that time and they played Washington the following year. And after all that bullshit that went on with Wilson and Panera and all that shit, I always said Reeves shouldn't have given anybody a choice and should have just kicked the shit out of somebody. But he didn't. He yapped at everybody. It wasn't like he was turning people down, but it's this respect horse shit. You know, and the code and all this. Again, this is where the code is completely erased the job and everything and how effective the enforcer. Well, there is no enforcer anymore, but you can't enforce anymore because of this. And it's the idiot mindset of the code and everything else. But no, Reeves should just grab it. Like I said, make an example out of somebody. A bunch of these guys should make an example out of somebody. But once again, here we are. We can't. So, and we won't. And it's not going to happen. So, whatever. Anyway. Yeah, well, there is probably just an hour I've wasted of everyone's time. I don't know what the fuck I just rambled about. But I wanted to get down. Like I said, I wanted to. Well, like again, I was not challenged, but I was told I was kind of clueless on the matter, and I didn't know what I was talking about. And like I said, I had all these Habs fans telling me that the sheriff's in town, and I'm seeing clips of Facebook of Bissonnette telling me Wi-Fi's in the top five, and I'm like, well, maybe I'm sleeping on this guy. Like, I mean, I've seen his. It wasn't like I didn't know who he was. I've seen clips here and there, but I was just like, oh, and it, but it was, again, it was the clips that I saw were just like, all right, I mean, I guess this is, he's willing, which is cool. Like I said, he's aggressive and he's willing, which is, I like to see for sure. And I mean, he'll get involved, but he's one of these guys. Would I qualify? He'll fight, but I'm not going to call him a fighter. Because not from what I've seen, you know, and like, again, who's he really fought? Of course, granted, who is there to fight? I guess that's the other way of looking at it. Again, it's not his fault, but it's like, I don't know. Like I said, going through his fight card, like I said, I listed it off, and it's like, Giovanni Smith, like I said, who? And I mean, I watched his NHL career fights, and I failed to get excited. We'll put it that way. Like I said, I like the kid's moxie, and he's willing to go and whatever. I mean, that's cool. I dig it. But if anybody has the thought in their head that Reeves or Delore or any of the tough guys are scared of Wi-Fi, get that thought right out of your head. And for George Laroque to sit there, like, with a straight face, you can't say that. Like I said, if Arbor Jack played for any other team, Laroque wouldn't be saying anything about, oh, he's away, that's why Reeves is acting up. Like, really? You don't think Reeves would have played like that when he was around? When Wi-Fi was around? Of course he would. He always plays like that. And again, after listing off, he'll fight Francis Lessard and Hornachuk and Tristan Grant and all that. But, oh, yeah, when it comes to Wi-Fi, though, fuck, I got to get out of here. Come on. What have we done? And again, on the same hand, I'm not saying Wi-Fi is scared of Reeves. That's what the one guy's arguing with me. Well, I don't think Wi-Fi would be scared of Reeves either. I said, well, I never said he was. That's not what we're talking about. You guys are the ones making the argument that Reeves is scared. I'm just saying he's not. Now you're coming back. Well, yeah, but you're saying Wi-Fi. I never said Wi-Fi was scared of him. Because again, that's the whole point of this conversation. I wouldn't be that stupid to say that. None of these guys are scared of each other. Now, I don't mean to sound like I'm trying to be an app, but what the fuck is there to be scared of? Like back in the day when you went in and played the Phillies or the Flyers or the Bruins or Probert and Koser or whatever, or the Oilers and stuff with Semenko and McSorley, you were scared, or Dave Brown, because these guys wouldn't, excuse me, sir, we're going to have a tussle and the code, and they'd square off with you and give, no, they would drop it, and you'd be three punches behind before you knew you were in one, and they'd break your face, and they wouldn't just pull you down and let the refs come in, and afterwards, good job, buddy, hell yeah, you know, thanks for the fight, and no, they were trying to break your face. Like, you think Dave Brown wished you good luck and then afterwards in the penalty box thanked you for a jolly good tussle? No, he'd pull you down. And if you were down, he'd hit you when you were down, you know, and try to smoke you again. Ask Jim Kite what that was like. He got grounded and pounded. What would Wendell Clark be around? Would Wendell Clark thank you for the tilt? No. You're acting up. McSorley would just grab you and beat the shit out of you. Same with Semenko. So these guys are, you know, back then there'd be something to be scared about. Now, what is there to be scared about? Even if, like, I'm not saying these guys couldn't kick your ass, but if they come out and fight, they're not going to do anything to you. Just say, yeah, we're going. No, no, we're not. No, no, I'm good. There. Now you're not fighting. Diffused. Because the guy can't grab you and start throwing punches, they'll get suspended. So it's over. Like, they're not holding you accountable. Like I said, did Redpy have to fight the other night? Like, or not the other night, but the, after he ran the guy? No, he's waving and everything else because McDermott's giving him a square fair. Because you can't just grab him and start throwing punches. Like, you think Rempe would be waving at Dave Semenko? He wouldn't have had a chance to wave because he'd be on the ice getting his head kicked in. Because there wouldn't be any discussion about, we're going to go, bro, when they drop the puck. No, it would just be like, you know, you're dead. But now, if you don't want to fight, you don't have to. So there's nothing to be scared of. This is where we're at in 2024. For anybody. So like I said, at the end of the day, for George the Rock or any fan or anybody to say, like, so-and-so scared of Wi-Fi or anybody, it's just ridiculous. Now, again, I get the irony of my comments, but it's just like, seriously? And LaRock knows this. I know he's fucking around. He's thirsty. Ugh. Anyway, folks, that's my rant for the day. It's Thursday. It's 10:45, and I got to go to work at 5 a.m. So there we are. There's my contribution to the hockey podcasting world. Holy shit, that's quite the contribution. Eesh. Yeah. Anyway, folks, maybe we'll do this again on Sunday. Come on back. We'll talk about some things. Thanks, guys, for tuning in. I appreciate it. And download, don't stream. Please rate and review the show. Well, maybe don't review this one. Review the previous shows. Oh, let's get out of here. Let's a couple more days. Oh, I guess one more day. Friday. Here we go. Friday, and we'll get the beers going. Hey, all right, folks. Talk to you on the weekend.
And you people that don't like fighting, how many of you did you walk out and get a coffee while that was on?